This is Horror for Dummies, episode 37. Before we start, I just want to address a couple of things. This episode that you're going to listen to is a bit all over the place. Reason being is because we are away on my Bucks party as we speak. As a matter of fact, as of right now you're listening to this, I'm probably half pissed in a ditch somewhere, half dead. Who knows what I'm doing right now. But because of that, we had a little bit of trouble, time to record. So it's a bit all over the place. Some parts are with the Ben, the dummy. Some parts are without him. But it's all there. It's still a full episode, so just enjoy. On top of that, because we are away at the moment, sadly, for the first time ever, there will be no episode next week. But fear not, we'll be back in a week with another episode of Horror for Dummies. In the meantime, here is episode 37. Enjoy.
I'll let you know before you try to go. Now this is my own show. Not a script or flip could make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to tick me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here has only just begun. Welcome to my horror show. Now it's starting 3D.
Welcome to Horror for Dummies, episode 37.
You had to step up already.
We're doing this again. Take two. Welcome to Horror for Dummies, episode 37. My name is Tim. We are the podcast that comes to you every week that teaches you a thing or two.
Teaches you a thing!
You can tell we've been drinking. Teaches you a thing or two.
Hey!
Fucking hell!
A two.
Take three. Welcome to Horror for Dummies, episode 37. We are the podcast that comes to you every week that teaches a thing or two to the dumbest little guy about the genre we love. I did it, yes. I am Tim, as I said before, and with me is the dumbest man in this room, Ben.
I don't know if I'd be claiming that this
Shut
week.
Shut up. I've had a few shots.
Fucking couple of shots to the head by the sound of it.
Funny. With us today, you heard me talk about last week that we're going to have a guest, and here he is. You've heard him before. He's been on the Halloween 3 episode, the Greasy Strangler episode, and now he's on this episode. His name is the Rad Salad himself, Todd Ridgway.
Rad Salad, Todd Ridgway. Thanks for having me, guys, and please don't remind me again about Halloween 3.
How dare you? We'll be talking maybe about Halloween 3 again later this episode. Anyway, this week's lesson is The Descent from 2005. Anyway, before we kick in, how is everyone?
I'm fantastic, mate. How are you?
I'm good.
You doing all right?
We are. Before we continue, I should mention that this is going to be a bit of a mixed around episode because we are recording very early and we haven't got everything planned as of yet, so there will be some obvious edit cuts in this episode. So just pre-warn.
Let's make a game of it. See if you can spot them.
Yeah, and do a shot every time.
Yeah, and Tim will blow your prize and mail it to you.
Yeah.
Damn it, Todd. Now I have to.
It's going
to
be a fucking sticky envelope.
Anyway, Todd, how you been? We haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, no, I can't complain, mate. I'm here today, about to have some fun. A little scared because you told me I've got strange games prepared for me.
Yes, we do.
That's true.
I do have a little game that I have prepared. Just because we're here, we're having a few drinks. It's a Saturday afternoon for us here. And I like to play games. So, why don't we play this game before we start this actual episode?
Let's bring it on. Let's do it.
All right, so this game, and you guys have known, it's called... Usually called Two Guys, One Cup, because there's three here. Three guys, one cup. And it's not what you're thinking. So basically, the rules are...
Now it is.
Basically, what the rules are is I have a cup in front of us with a list of different horror movie titles in them. And say, for example, I have to pick one of these titles up. It will say the name of the movie, and I have to give everyone three clues, and they have to pick what movie I'm talking about. But the clues can't be obvious. For example, if I pick Friday 13th, I can't say Hockey Mask, Machete, Sean Cunningham.
Is it Friday 13th?
No.
Oh. Is it Sean Cunningham?
Yes, you are correct.
Yes!
So, I'll go first, so you get a clear example of what I'm talking about. So, got the copy, ruffle it up.
I'm going to be bad at this.
No, you're not. Ruffle that. They're movies that you have seen. I made it that easy for you.
I'm still going to be bad at it.
Okay, so I have the first one here. All right. Three clues. Fire, glove, hat.
Well,
pretty simple.
What's that guy? That wears the glove and is scarred by fire. Is it Jason? Is that the guy?
Todd loses.
It's Edward Scissorhands, mate.
Right, you both lose, so I get the point.
Fuck off.
Yeah. This is a shit game.
All right.
Is it Nightmare on Elm Street?
You are correct.
Yay!
So you get 1 point. Thank and then you can go next.
Uh-huh. Can I give it a good ruffle?
You can.
I insist. I'd love for you to ruffle our cup.
Okay.
Now, I'm also going to point out, while we play this game, we should probably put our hands over the paper because I totally just read that through the paper.
I'm choosing a new one.
Was it Terminator 2?
It's probably the one in that cup I could have easily gotten.
Okay.
Just hold that paper a bit higher, please. No, like above your hand.
Right.
Yep, go for it.
Right.
He's thinking.
A spooky house.
Oh!
You got spooky it already.
Spooky house.
I
no, I don't.
Possession.
Possession? Oh, shit. I thought I had it.
Benji gets it on
motherfucker,
two.
Motherfucker, I did have it. Like, I was going to wait until you wrote the third clue.
That's totes like a bonus point. Getting up about all three.
I feel like we should get a bonus point for like beating Tim as well.
Oh, funny.
Mate, you better not become the dummy here.
Well, just remember that I wrote them, so I know what movies are in them.
Oh, yeah. He's got a homebound advantage. Okay.
Jaws.
Well, I'm afraid Tim's out. Todd, you can get all three clues.
Oh, fuck.
Okay. So, it's... Now I'm trying to think... This is hard to think of clues that aren't blatantly obvious, eh?
Yeah. On the spot, yeah. It's pretty gnarly.
Take your time.
All right. I'm going to go with... No, that's too obvious.
It gets like that.
Well, guys, this is going to be a long episode.
Let's go with... White.
White. Okay. Interesting.
Family.
Family.
And a certain date.
Halloween.
There we go.
Yay, I finally got one. Tim for the win.
I'd also like to point out, you were out. And by default, Todd gets the point.
That's
here
some
you go, Todd,
shit.
Read out the next one.
Two that's some bullshit me. Right there.
You know, don't jump the gun. Next time, champion.
Whatever. Fine, I'm going next. Because I know I'll get this right.
Will you?
No. Maybe. I don't know. Give me the clues.
Pressure's on.
A lake.
Right. A lake.
A lake.
Is that your second clue?
No.
You got two
wow,
lakes.
It's a big lake.
This one's like super hard without giving it away. So a lake.
Right. Okay, I'm gonna go and take a guess. Friday 13th.
No. You're out.
He's already. He's out.
Are you serious?
All right, good.
I'm gonna give you guys
that narrows it down.
A soldier.
A soldier.
A lake. A soldier.
A soldier.
And we'll go all three from the same scene. A lake, a soldier, and a fat kid.
A lake, a soldier, and a fat kid?
Yep. A fat kid?
Fat kid. You fucking wrote these. You should be able to get this.
I'm just struggling. What's a soldier and a fat
trick
kid?
Trick or treat?
No.
No?
It's one that you guys have reviewed.
Well, we know that.
Well, most of them are. Is it Friday 13th?
It's not. Written
it's
on
not Friday
13th.
It's not Friday 13th.
A lake, a soldier, and a fat kid.
Soldier.
Soldier. It's like heaps, little clue. Heaps obscure.
Well, now I'm just thinking soldier.
It's the scene that comes to my mind when I watch.
Todd's bamboozled us. He's snookered us.
A soldier and a fat kid. Now you said trick or treat, that's all I can think of.
I know, right?
It's all in the one scene. I can give you another clue if you want, but you give it away.
Okay. No. Because if we don't get it, then it's your point. But you got to... If we don't get it in a certain amount of time, you got to tick down the clock.
Tick.
Yes.
Tick.
Soldier. A lake.
Tick.
Is a lake a big clue? Or is it a small little clue?
I suppose it depends on the size of the lake.
I guess it depends which version of the movie you watch.
Oh, shit. I'm trying to think what movies I wrote down.
You got me well snookered.
Yeah, hey, movie or miniseries.
Oh, it.
It is it.
Soldier?
Yep. So, remember, what's the fat kid's name?
It's Ben.
Ben, yeah. His father was a military soldier. You know the scene where...
Oh, Christ!
They're at the lake... And Ben sees his dad. They go, "Hey, kiddo, come over here." And he's in his uniform.
Fuck, you got me. Good work.
What's the fact you'd made, Ben? Didn't realize his game was getting personal.
I'm sorry, Ben.
Jerks.
So I guess Ben gets that.
Oh, thanks, mate. The least you could do. After that verbal
assault. Oh, I'm going next.
I'm sorry, Ben. I didn't mean it that way.
All right. I have the movie here.
I thought he was about to read the name of it.
Oh, man.
That's pretty obvious.
This one's going to be hard to give clues about. Snake. Right? Snake.
Snake.
Laser.
Laser. This is, sounds like an awesome movie.
It is.
Is that Halloween 3? It is, isn't it?
I was going to say Shamrock, but yes, it is Halloween 3.
Shamrock, that would have done it.
Well, I was trying to give you an easy one. Yes, you got...
All I thought about when I said laser was just those...
Todd's, he got it right, bro.
Fucking sound effects through the fucking movie.
Damn it,
I feel like Tim lied there because he said it was an awesome movie.
Oh, whatever. Interpretation, Ben.
Fact.
No. I meant to say opinion, not interpretation. Wrong word completely.
Okay.
Yep, he's here.
Here we go.
You just saw
a penis? A penis.
Greasy Strangler.
You win it. There's 1 point to you.
Even if I didn't write that down, I knew what movie you were talking about. Alright. Oh, we had Terminator 2.
Yeah. That concerns me that all Tim needs to hear is a penis. And he knows what we're talking about.
You know I love my dicks. Alright. Shit.
Tim.
This one...
Is it true? I've heard that you can tell any horror movie from its penis.
I can indeed.
Wow. Impressive.
It's not true. I'm struggling even to think of a movie with a penis.
It's even more impressive that he can do it like through the pants as well. He doesn't even need to see bare dick.
Why don't, for this one, you describe this movie's penis?
I was actually going to, and then I realised I would have given it away pretty much.
Oh, weird.
Alright, fine. Orca? Cage. Poison.
Is it the Warcraft movie?
No, we're not gay here.
But you said orc.
Orca.
Orca.
I know, I've just been a dickhead.
Yeah, wow, shut up, that movie's sick.
I haven't seen it, so.
This is a weird one, though.
It is.
Cage, poison.
You might have bamboozled me.
Yep. And I'm thinking one scene from this movie in particular, just like you did with it. Throw me for a loophole, I'm going to do the same to you.
Okay. Poison.
Yep.
Orca.
Yep. Cage.
Cage.
Benjamin. Are you thinking?
I'm thinking. I'm just trying to link it.
Keep thinking.
Piper with him.
You know what? I'm going to go just for an all-out guess because I haven't seen this movie for a long time.
Yes.
But I'm going to say Jaws 3.
No dice.
Damn, I'm out.
Ben, you're the last one in.
Yeah, I've got nothing, eh? Cage Boys. The only thing I'm thinking with Cage is 28 Days Later.
That your final guess?
It doesn't have an orca in it, though. It's nowhere near an orca.
Orca, I might not be talking about the killer whale orca. Orca. Orca.
Orca?
Orca.
Then what the fuck else are you talking about if you say orca? All right, I'm going to go with 28 Days Later.
You're wrong.
Okay, cool.
The orca I'm talking about is a boat. The movie is Jaws, the first one.
Yeah, remember
Cage poison? He was trying to poison the shark with the dart.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Boom!
I felt like it was a Jaws.
When you said Cage, I was thinking Jaws, but I'm like, what?
I thought Jaws 3 was shark like cage. In that aquarium. I was like, did they have an orca? I don't know.
All right, so, Benny. Which,
how fucking good was that picture Alan sent through?
Oh my god, Alan!
That's
well done, my friend.
Hilarious, man.
That kind of creeped me out. All right, Benny, you have a go.
All right.
Since I'm smashing this. We even got some Metallica playing in the background. Yeah, buddy.
That's thinking music. Okay.
Yep. He's got his film. He's raring to go.
Again, it's hard to think of clues that might not make it super obvious.
Yeah, I know.
So, I'm going to think... I'm thinking...
You're thinking... You can do it, man.
I know.
I believe
right?
in
I'm
you.
I'm trying. I haven't been trained for this.
Yes, okay. You have. You have about 35 episodes under your belt.
This is a nice
knife. Well, that's a scrape.
Oh. I know. Shut up. I'm thinking of the same scene altogether. See, I had an idea.
Okay.
Knife.
Yep. Gotcha.
Van.
Okay. Interesting.
You ready? Instead of having one that's going to make us rattle our brains, I'm going to throw out a clue here that might make it a bit more obvious, and it's going to be like a quick fire.
Oh,
it's all right?
Okay. Going to get it.
Wheelchair.
Text change. So let's go.
There we go.
I was thinking, fuck me, I was thinking Friday the 13th Part 2.
Boom.
Oh. Very good.
Onto it. That was the best thing you could have done.
Right. Do you want to go one more round, or up to you guys? One more round each?
Well, at the moment,
let's just
winning,
go.
So
just one more round. Just let Todd just do one more round.
This is
let our guests
you
finish
two,
this off.
This is to see who really is the dummy.
Oh, okay.
Turn it so I can see it.
Fuck off.
Yeah, who's dumb now?
What's he got for us?
A gorge.
A gorge.
A gorge.
Like a canyon type thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
A bus.
Trick or treat.
Damn it!
Oh!
So close.
So we both still got it after two clues, but
we do. High five.
What's up?
Anyway, that was a bit of fun for you.
That
Did
was
you enjoy
good.
It?
I enjoyed that.
That was good, man.
So I want to kind of, I'm going to be incorporating more games into this show every so often. So yeah. Anyway, Ben, stop having ideas. Anyway, let's talk about a movie, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
What kind of movie would you like to talk about?
Oh, we're gonna talk about a movie to do with caves.
Yes, I'm so stoked to talk about the cave.
Yeah? Alright, well, let's kick into feature presentation.
And now for our feature presentation.
Sure, we're going the right way.
I've never been lost in my life.
There's only one way out of this chamber, and that's down the pipe.
I'm stuck. I can't breathe.
Okay, Sarah, you have to calm down. I'm coming back. Okay? Okay. Okay, move! Now!
Now!
let's go cave jumping and cave exploring and stuff. We're talking about The Descent. What?
Was that supposed to be like a little song or something that just didn't happen?
Yeah, pretty much. I decided to give it away. Yeah, we're talking about The Descent from 2005. It came from. This is a 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb. Its budget. Now, its budget was £3.5 million.
Okay.
Right?
So was that close to like 7 million Australian?
Okay.
Yeah, maybe
I think.
More.
So this is the thing. I searched this up on Wikipedia because Wikipedia is always truthful. Okay. So it said 3.5 million pounds, but the box office was $57.1 million. Dollars.
Dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So either way, that's still a fucking big difference.
Yeah.
Still a problem.
It made a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the cast. So we have Shauna McDonald as Sarah. She appeared in a movie called Howl, which is another British werewolf movie. Good times if you haven't seen it. Natalie Mendoza, who plays Juno. He hasn't been in much. He was in Moulin Rouge. Remember that movie?
Moulin
Rouge? Yes?
Yeah, of course. I love that movie.
Alex Reed, and I didn't even write down the character she played, so let's just skip that. Saskia Mulder, who played Rebecca. All these people have weird names. Mayanna Burning, who plays Sam, who, I'm not going to lie, she's hot as shit in real life.
Sam.
Like now. Sam, yeah. And Nora Jane Noon, I'm guessing that's how you pronounce it, as Holly. The director is Neil Marshall. He's directed such films, all you... fuck it up. All you horror fans would know. He's the director from Dog Soldiers, Doomsday. He's actually directing Hellboy from... the next year's version of Hellboy.
Yeah, cool.
He did a segment in Tales for Halloween, and he's also directing the new King Kong movie, Skull Island, Blood of the Kong.
Yeah, cool.
And Benj, he is a member of the Splat Pack.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Mad Dog.
Like every fucking movie that released, every director is a member of the Splat Pack, apparently.
No. Well, that kind of cheapens the title, doesn't
it? No, it's like 8 or something. But we just keep to be picking movies that have members of the Splat Pack.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Alright. Let's talk about first impressions. So, Todd, you have been asking to do this movie for a minute, haven't you?
For a minute.
For a little while. Sorry, yeah. I say minute a lot.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Literally
like
1 minute, one night. Todd asked us to do it, but for like 60 seconds straight. He just kept saying, The Descent.
1 minute before this podcast started, I was walking down the street, even though I don't live in this town, and I was just like, fuck it, let's do it.
He just yelled at me, hey, let's do The Descent! And I looked and went, alright. And that's how we come to be.
Wasn't it lucky that the votes went in that fashion?
I know, right?
Today, yeah.
How did that happen?
You know.
Anyway, Todd, you like this movie a bit.
Yeah, no, I really dig it. Like, I've always been a fan of it. I thought it was, I don't know if I should say original, but like, it's how many sort of, there's not a lot of sort of cave monster.
I would say it's original.
Yeah, there's not a lot of cave monster movies out there. It's sort of fun, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And what I think I love the most about it is it's one of those kind of movies, kind of like what you guys were speaking about Terminator 2 the other week.
Yeah.
How you don't know exactly
Todd,
where
this
it's
is nothing
going.
Like Terminator 2. This did make me cry.
You guys said Terminator 2.
At no point
2.
Was there a heartbreaking
thumbs up. Imagine if there was, though.
That would be cool.
As they're going into the cave, someone just does that.
Just a thumbs up.
You guys mentioned in Terminator 2, you don't know which Terminator is the bad Terminator. And same with this one, the way it sort of pans out for a good part of the movie is it's just kind of like a cave survival. They're in a collapse, someone's broken their leg, and then just all of a sudden, whoa, monsters.
That is true, actually.
It's kind of like two movies in the one, in a way.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, the first half goes in one direction, then it just like flips and goes the other direction for the last half.
Yeah.
Which is very cool.
Alright, we'll continue with you in a second, but I need to hear the dummy's opinion of this movie. So, Ben, were you indeed... Oh, before we start that, this is the first time you've seen it, right?
Correct. This is the first time I've seen it.
Which is a shock to me, because you have me, who's a fan, Todd, who's a fan, two of your best friends have seen it, and you were a little Boy Scout who used to do things like this, I'm guessing.
That is true. Todd and I have done a bit of caving.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second, because I got questions about that.
Okay.
But were you a fan of this movie?
Mate, I was, actually. I was quite a big fan of this movie. I enjoyed this.
I actually... thought that you'd be a fan of this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know why, I just thought, yeah, you'd like this.
No, this was good. Okay. I liked this.
Alright, well, let's talk... Okay, I want to talk to you guys about your experience doing caves, because this movie actually scared the shit out of me, and it had nothing to do with the monsters. Nothing to do with the cave doors or the crawlers, whatever you want to call it. The fact that the first half of this movie, when they're in the cave, yep. I'm not claustrophobic in the slightest, but watching those two... Watching Sarah being stuck in that cave really, really got to me. And the fact that when they realise that they're trapped in this thing, I don't know why, but it really kind of freaked me out for some reason. So, what was it like? Because I've never really gone cave diving, because I'm... Maybe I am a little bit claustrophobic.
Cave diving.
Okay, sorry.
We just go head first.
Cave exploring, whatever you want to call it. What's your experience with it?
Yeah, it's fun. It's really, really fun.
But it is super fun.
It can be pretty fucking spooky at the same
time. It does get pretty spooky, man. Like, what they say, there's a line in the movie where they say, you know, you think it's dark when you turn out the lights, down there it's pitch black. Like, that is entirely true.
Yeah.
Like, when you're down there, we've done it before, when everyone's down there, everyone turns their headlamp off at the same time. And
nobody,
it is like,
nobody says a word.
Legit. Not just like dark, like you've turned the lights out. Imagine that, but when you close your eyes.
Right.
That's what it's like. You can put your hand, like you can put your palm on your nose.
Yeah.
And you can't see your hands.
Yeah, there's nothing.
You can fucking see absolutely nothing.
So that's...
It is the blackest of black.
Times infinity.
McCabe Merrill.
There is... The movie's portrayed really well in the sense that there's like big caverns and sort of stuff, but there are lots of little passageways where they have the cave-in section.
Yeah.
There's heaps of stuff like that. I've been through sort of little crawling parts where there was one of our scout leaders when we used to do it, was a bigger bloke. He couldn't get through without
sucking
in and holding his breath, and he had about 10 seconds to get through a section.
So that's fucked. That'd be me. I couldn't do it.
There are sections where that's what you got to do. It's a fucking tight squeeze and there's no other way to go. That's it.
Fuck that.
And like, it can be pretty intense. Like, I've done quite a few back in the day. There was one where as soon as you go in, like, it's a little chute in the ground that you sort of crawl through and just opens up into like a 70-foot drop into a cavern.
What?
So you've got to abseil in. And when we were in there, we did this one and a kangaroo... We didn't know, but a kangaroo had fallen in the chute and got stuck and fallen down and died this drop.
Fucking
so when
kangaroos.
We got down to the bottom, one at a time coming down, I think I was the second one down, and once we got to the base and we were safe, we had like a little explorer, so we're waiting for the rest of the people to come through.
Yeah.
And we sort of crawled around this corner and found this carcass of a dried, shriveled up kangaroo.
Mad. Did
we
eat it?
No, we didn't eat it. But
why not?
It scared the fucking shit out of us. Like, can you imagine that? Like, finding that.
Would have been gnarly. Is it before you saw this movie?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I don't know how I would feel about caving now. Like, after
it's kind of,
That's what I wanted to ask you, Ben, especially. Would you go cave diving after seeing this movie? I keep saying cave diving. I'm thinking cage diving. That's why.
Yeah.
Cave exploring. Cave
diving. I don't know. It kind of... I feel like...
Okay, would you go cave exploring by yourself?
Fuck no, you'd never go by yourself, like, ever. Okay. I wouldn't have gone before, like, by myself before this.
Alright.
Because that sort of shit's just, like, literally... That's either so dark in there, you slip and you fall.
And break your leg, like...
You break your leg, you knock yourself out, you do something. Yeah. Like, if you're by yourself, you are just gone, that's
kind of
it.
Thing you wouldn't do it. You
fucking
do
never, man.
Alright, would you walk around the outside of a cave at night after watching this movie?
Nah. Nah, man. Fucking. It's like, the actual monster aspect of this movie wouldn't so much turn me off it, but like, just being a bit older than I was when we did it in the first place and stuff, I don't know if I'd still be game to actually do it again now.
Really? Okay.
I reckon I'll probably do it again, but I would be fucking looking over my shoulder every 2 seconds.
Fucking oath you would.
Why? Because of this movie? Or
probably, yeah.
So, what you're saying is basically this movie's like Jaws in a way.
Yeah,
except
very true.
Caves
yeah.
instead of water.
Very true.
It'd definitely play on your mind if you went down there again.
Yeah,
you'd be hearing it all, like
the scurrying.
You thought you saw in the corner of your eye or something.
So
it'd
is
be a
it?
Wig out.
They mention in the movie that when you're down there, you can hallucinate and stuff like that. Is that true?
Well, I mean, depending where you go, it's the things that usually make you hallucinate and shit is like oxygen deprivation.
Okay,
so. But yeah, that all that shit is true. Yes.
So it can happen.
Oh yeah.
So that's, and that's
that's part of what made the first half of this movie so good, is that it was actually like pretty much true to fact for the first half of this movie.
Yeah.
Everything they encounter, like getting in there, the way they've got to get around, the facts they state about things like that, it was all pretty much true to fact. That's a good look at what it's like.
Yeah. The reason I asked about the hallucination thing is because prior to the release of the sequel, it was speculated amongst fans that the Crawlers may have been a figment of Sarah's imagination, and that she actually killed all of her friends as she gradually went insane. But Neil Marshall has acknowledged, like the director, has acknowledged this theory and revealed that he removed a shot that would have suggested the Crawlers weren't real. But what if it went in that direction? What if it came to the end and Sarah, like there was something like Sarah realized that?
I think if they subtly pointed at that, it probably would have been a bit of a like, what the fuck? If they made it a bit like, they made it reasonably clear that that's what had happened, that she'd suffered from oxygen deprivation, she lost it, and it was actually killing her friends instead of killing these things, that would have actually been a mad twist.
Well, that's kind of what happens at the end of 47 Meters Down, and I love that. Like, me and Joe both love that movie.
Spoilers.
Oh yeah, well. Well, fuck me. It's a year. It's almost a year old now. So, your bad luck. Anyway, all right. So, and this.
Tell me how every movie ends from now on.
This movie, and I'm going to get more to this because we're going to kind of touch on the sequel. Me and Todd are, because me and Todd both watched it recently. Ben hasn't seen it yet.
Correct.
But to me, this movie is a lot like Alien. In a way, just more with the creature, the blackness, the lighting in the film, especially how it's very dark.
Yeah, this movie definitely like 100% relies on the different tones of lighting, but in a way too, it really shows you what it's like in a cave. Like, it's very true.
That's incredibly true, man. You know, you haven't got that headlamp, there's nothing.
Yeah.
So it's whatever, you know. You've got what's directly in your headlamp and then the ambient light coming off it, but everything else is just black.
Yeah. But then when, like, when they do the flare, the lighting in that is unreal because it's not just very red well filter over the camera. It's clearly that they've it looks, I don't know if they have, but it looks like they actually did let
it. I was going to say, I wouldn't have put it past it being a total blackout and they cracked the flare.
Well, possibly, but the thing is, the caves aren't in this movie aren't real.
I know.
That was all set.
But there's no reason. With the sets they can build, there's no reason they couldn't make it a total blackout.
That's true.
They might have had basic lights on to give you the light before the flare and flick them off as they crack the flare.
Because
I don't see beyond that how they could have gotten the same lighting with the shadows and everything coming off the flare. You know, that judging by the shadows and the entire rest of the shot when they crack them, that's the light source. It's the only place it's coming from.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have surprised me if they had a total blackout barring the flare.
Maybe, yeah.
To keep it real.
Totally understand why they had the flare and the sort of the green...
The glow sticks.
Glow sticks and that, like, for the sake of the movie, like, the rave. Tones and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I hate to be one of those guys that points out the little flaws.
No, go for it. That's why we're here.
Can't imagine, like, somebody out there knows differently because they're into this sort of stuff. Call me up. But I can't imagine you use a flare in a cave because some caves have, like, gas... Stuff
oh really?
Well, yeah exactly. Yeah, and same thing with like the oxygen deprivation. You've got all different gases coming out of the earth and stuff, and some of them, not all of them, are inert. Some of them may well be flammable.
Yeah.
So that's generally speaking, that's why you would use things like a headlamp or a glow stick.
Okay.
Because there's nothing can spark.
So I didn't know that. So I'd be the type of person that would use a flare if I had access to flares, which
spark
I don't.
Up a durry in a cave.
Yeah, exactly. If I was still smoking, but I didn't know it had gases coming from it.
The red glow next to Tim's face every time he takes a drag.
The reason I like this movie so much is, I said before, it's a lot. It's very. It's a movie that it's two movies in one.
Yeah,
but it's just it's such an unreal story. How it's just. It has two fear factors. Like, you have the cave factor, which got to me. And then, boom, creatures.
Yeah. I agree, man. Like, the first half of this movie was just fucking... Like you say, it's like two movies in one. The first half is literally... Because I've never seen it. I didn't even read the blurb on the back. I didn't know anything about this movie, and I didn't want to know.
Did you know it was creatures? Or?
No, that's what I mean. I did not know that. So for the first half of the movie, I was expecting creatures, just because for some reason I kind of was. You know, down in a cave, you think a creature, yeah.
Yep.
But when it started, for the it was getting to the point, I'm like, maybe it is just an actual horror story about getting stuck in caves. You know, I was thinking people would start dropping by, you know, slipping off edges and letting go while they're climbing and this and that. And I was like, that in itself is pretty scary. And then all of a sudden, when it has that shot where it starts panning out, and you just see the jaws in the darkness, and it makes that kind of whatever noise.
Yeah.
And like, suddenly you know there's a creature there. I was like, there we go. All right, there is something in there.
All right, well, let's talk about the creatures.
How'd I thought they were fucking sick.
Yeah.
They were clearly like a sub-evolution of humans, or evolution, depending how you want to look at it.
Well, they never address what they actually are.
Well, they say, though, they look human.
Yeah.
Like, which is cool. And I love the fact that it's it sort of fits in with the realism of the whole movie. Yeah. Like, you know, any creature that spends long enough in a certain environment will adapt to that environment and evolve to live in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long they've been down there, who knows? Well, more to the point, who cares really? It doesn't need that kind of detail, but it's not just a sci-fi creature or something, which, don't get me wrong, like, they're still hectic, but the fact that it added to the realism that, like, something like that could really happen.
Yeah, well, that's it. I said it's a lot like Jaws in a way, but it is really a lot like Jaws, because who's to say that they aren't actually real?
Well, that's right, man. I feel like you'd be naive to just say they don't exist.
Yeah.
You know, same as the ocean. We've explored bugger all of the ocean. Who knows what else is out there?
Yeah,
we've
fucking explored Cthulhu.
Bugger all beneath the Earth's surface. Used to say there's not a race of things living under there that we don't know about.
Crab people. Oh! High five on that.
Always turns to South Park, doesn't it? Like we said. Crab people. Crab people.
All right, Jason, I know what we're doing tonight. Watching South Park.
Oh, I just thought of some weird
stuff. I was just about to say that's a spider, not a crab.
So, Todd, tell me, like, what are your thoughts on the creatures?
Yeah, I dig them, man. Like Ben saying, believable.
Well, that's because they're men in suits. They're not CGI or anything like that.
That was actually...
I was definitely going to bring up. Is everything in this practical?
The only
point I think in this that was CG, which I fucking hated, was the bats when they first get in there.
Yes.
That is like the worst shit I've ever seen in my life.
It is. It sticks out like dog's balls.
It's fucking horrible.
But it is cool that the majority of the stuff in here, or the real stuff,
absolutely, which is great. That would be the only negative comment I have on effects through this entire movie is those bats.
Look,
everything else looks sick. I've even got it there. The makeup on the creatures, they look so
unreal.
So good.
And they don't look like Suits. They look genuine. Genuine.
Yeah.
Like, they actually hired, like, these crab people type cave dwellers. But I don't know what pounds is converted to dollars, but 3.5 million, doesn't sound much.
Even if you double it, man, even if you triple it, that only goes up to what? Over 10 mil, which is bugger all compared to what a lot of things get.
Yeah, look at Marvel. We'll look at the Mummy.
Oh, man.
I only bring up the Mummy because I know how much they spent. 300 million.
Yeah.
And
that was only
this movie kicks its ass.
10 years difference, or 13, technical.
Well,
like 10 years difference, that's not enough to allow for inflation and shit and say it was the same money back then as it is now. This is a bugger all budget for what they got out of it,
which is
awesome.
Mainly because, like, this cast is pretty much unknown, especially back then. Like, some of these people have done, some of these actresses have done stuff now, but back then they were relatively unknown.
I also noticed, actually, with this movie, which was cool to see, barring the, like, 30 seconds of the husband at the start, that it was an all-female cast.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was cool.
And that's the thing that Neil Marshall wanted to, like, he originally planned it was going to be, like, a mix cast, like, of males and females. And Neil Marshall, I don't know why, but for some reason he said, let's make it, a female cast.
Yeah. I kind of like that, man. It's different to what you're used to seeing.
Exactly.
And it's cool because in this circumstance, it's not relevant. Like, gender is irrelevant. You know, you go caving, you fall down a hole, A bloke falls, a girl falls, it doesn't fucking matter which you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one of those things you can try and chalk up to, like, a macho thing. Like, not to say a female couldn't, but, you know, at the end of Predator, like, it turns into, like, a full-on you know, fight to the death between the two of them, where they play off the fact that Arnie's macho as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't turn into something like that. This is completely gender irrelevant, so it's cool to see that it was a female cast. Yeah,
but at the same time, I did find it a bit weird when, like, there was the scenes where the, I forget her name, the leader of the group.
Juno,
yeah, when she just sort of comes up behind the gremlin sort of dude and just does the military.
That was probably the only weird death I found in the whole thing, eh? Well, all the rest of them make sense because they're basic. It's like fucking bludgeon them to death with a bone or stab them with your pick or something. Like, they're all pretty straightforward. But how the fuck did she just learn to snap something's neck? Yeah. Well, it's not as simple as a twist.
You saw her, like, exercising stuff. She wasn't.
Yeah, but
she's fit. But there's technique to doing that probably as well. You don't literally just go like this and it works.
And really? Snap yeah. a feral.
You could try, but to actually snap it, like, I've read shit about it before. You've got to be able to, like, I think you've got to lift properly to help separate them and then twist, like, up and on the right angle and shit. It's not just as simple as fucking
Tim.
Okay.
Ben's kind of scaring me right now.
Yeah, I know, right? How do you know all this?
Because I've had this conversation before.
Well, on the subject of Juno, let's talk about the actual characters in this. And this is something I at the start, I had a bit of a problem with, and this is going to make me sound like a sexist pig, but I had trouble differentiating the two, like, the girls from each other, because they all kind of blended in at the same time. Like, there was a few of them. Sarah especially, and this happened on the second one, too. I couldn't remember if... She's such a plain person.
I didn't find... I didn't find it too hard to differentiate, like, people.
Yeah.
What I found hard was to get a hold of people's names to start with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to that extent, at least if it's a mixed cast, you know, someone says the name Mark, well, you know, it can only be one of those three people. You know, if there's three guys and three girls, you haven't got a chick named Mark.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, it at least separates the names a bit.
That's right.
When you've got, you know, what, you've got seven odd females in there.
Yes.
When they've all got chick names as well, obviously. It makes it harder to figure out who's who to start with, especially because they don't use the names a great deal, barring, like, Sarah and Juno.
Yeah, I understand that. But it was like, when they were all in a group, like, I couldn't pick out who was who. And I said before, Alex Reed, I didn't write down the character's name, it was Beth.
Yeah.
Beth
was Juno, like the hottest one there.
Really?
Yeah.
Sam was nice. Anyway.
My favourite was that weird little gremlin bitch in Dave.
Yeah, the only one with hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
You know what they say about the hair? Nature's handle, mate.
Yeah, I think it was like Holly. You could tell because she was a dyke looking.
Holly woman. Had distinguishing features: short hair, like the attitude, tattoos, stuff like that.
Yeah, she looked like a dyke.
Fuck, that's what you're
saying. But Sam and Rebecca. When they're in a group together, I just couldn't.
That kind
really...
of works though as well, because they're the sister relationship in that. Yeah. It makes sense for them to look similar.
I'd also
like to point out, it was blatantly obvious as soon as the word sister was mentioned that one of them was going to see the other one die.
Yes.
That was like a basic mechanic.
Yeah.
As soon as they said, oh, that's my little sister, I'm like, ah, one of yous is dying.
But okay, let's talk about Juno as a character. Todd, do you want to take this? What do you think of Juno? Because I feel like she's someone that you're there to hate. I don't. I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah. I don't know if I really hate her. She's like, the attitude and is the definite, I'm the leader, let's do things my way, but...
Yes.
But, that's... Even, you know, even though she, like, cheated on, like...
Yeah, she was with Sarah's husband.
Yeah, yeah, she was in on that whole thing.
Right, yeah, still going.
That's a fucking big call to just kill your mate, just leave your mate to die over something like that.
Which one?
Like Sarah just fucking...
Oh, I think... Oh, when Sarah leaves her. I think it's a combination of the fact that she was pissed off about that because she only just found out, and the fact that she stabbed Beth through the throat and left her there. Well, admittedly, again though, without the whole story... Like, I actually kind of felt bad for Juno when she stabbed Beth, because, like, that was fucking brutal, by the way. Yes. That was so savage. I was not expecting that. As soon as you saw it, I was just like, oh, shit. That was intense. But I felt for her, because, like, if you're underground fighting off these fucking cave-dwelling creatures, and something touches you on the shoulder, I'm not turning around to see who it is first. I'm swinging.
No,
I'm fucking swinging.
Yeah, I agree. But the thing is, she just left her there.
But at the same time, didn't say anything. Okay, true.
Okay.
But by the same token, how do you tell your friends underground that you just stabbed one of the other people through the throat?
I guess.
Say it was the three of us right now, and we were down there, and then you and me are there. How would you react
if I
tell you I just killed Todd?
How would you react, Tim?
Me, like now, with all this horror cred, I kind of understand.
I understand. Truthfully. I kind of understand why she didn't tell anyone to start with. See, she might have come clean later, but...
Because
then you get emotional reactions about, fuck you, what'd you do, and it takes away from the point that you still need to get out of the cave before anything else happens.
I guess it's one of the things you can't really say much unless you were there in the heat of the moment.
I understand why she didn't say it, and I understand how it happened, and I even understand why she left her there. I mean, you got a fucking hole through your
throat. What would you do if
I would have? I would have at least stayed till whoever it was I stabbed died.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but truth is, I thought she was dead anyway until Sarah turned up and she was like,
"See, okay, that's
like, how are you still alive?
Yeah, how is she? How is she?
That's
what
I don't get. How is she talking and how is she still alive?
Because it's in the story. That's why.
That's right. But yeah, I actually kind of feel bad for Juno on that point, eh?
So do I.
I feel like anyone else would have done the same thing.
She falls in love with someone who's already taken. Yes, she did the wrong thing.
That part, I don't feel bad for her.
Well, yeah, okay, fair enough. You can look at it both ways.
Yeah, it's like her friend's husband.
Yeah, I know. Well, what if I fell in love with Amy?
Then you'd cop a pig to the throat.
Tell you what I don't like, though. This is something you'd understand.
That's not from me. That's from Joe.
This is something you'd understand, Ben, actually having caved before. It's the whole thing how they went to this cave. They could have gone to this cave, this undiscovered cave, and had a fucking crack and had a good time. But the thing is, they said they went to a different cave. Any sort of area where you do go caving, you have to like sign in and sign out.
Correct.
So people know if you've gone. And they did that in the movie. They did sign in, but signed in a different cave.
Yep.
And so when number two, when they send the search parties in the wrong cave, they never find them. At the very start of the movie.
Yeah, okay.
The search parties have been searching all the wrong caves.
Yeah.
And haven't found them. That's like basic shit. So that's a fucking big dick move.
Yeah.
Put all your friends in danger like that.
Yeah. I feel the same thing, man. I feel bad for her on the stabbing and that sort of stuff. But on the whole, I'm not a fan of the character because she's the one who put everyone in that position to start with. Like, you don't... If you really wanted to be the first ones to go into this cave and have a crack and check it out, no worries. But I feel like when you've got a group of adrenaline junkie friends, clearly... Tell them first, and then everyone can go, fuck yeah, let's check this cave out.
Yes.
Or, no, let's try something else.
Yeah.
But don't just tell them that's where we're going, and then, oh, by the way, we're fucking this far underground, and I have no idea where the fuck we are.
Yeah, 100%.
Not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool.
All right, well, let's kind of lean towards wrapping this up, but before we do that, I'm going to tell you right now that this movie got me with the jump scares. There were a few that actually made me jump.
There were a few that definitely made me jump, man.
Because I haven't seen this movie since easily before 2010. It's been a few years since I've seen this movie. So a lot of this was new to me. I couldn't remember a lot of it. But that car scene right at the start with the husband dying,
dude,
that shocked me. I couldn't remember it.
That was also brutal because, had been my first time watching it. I was not expecting that. I've got my character list and I wrote down husband and then leave like a space in brackets when I get their name. And I was like, oh, yeah, all right. So he's into the Asian chick. And then that happened. I never got his name and I just put into Asian / dead.
Yeah, but
plus, it also hit kind of like hit home for me because there were copper pipes that went through. I might have that shit on my work cars.
Oh, we'll take him off right now.
I was like, all right, shit. Note to self, make sure all copper piping is secure.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, just watch the other drivers.
Hmm? Hey, I'm
because he's clear fault.
I'm in the car. I'm not the one dying.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah.
I think the one part in the movie, the only part that I really looked at and was like, what the fuck is this? And I didn't like, was when, I don't know her name, there's... It's Juno and one of the other ladies, and she starts to rock climb across the chasm.
Yes, and I think that's Sam.
Yeah, and there's the gremlin sort of guy that
hanging
comes over. Yeah, and they're hanging there fighting, and it does the extreme close-ups of her eyes. I hated that. That was
why?
So cheesy. It was just like,
it shows her fear.
But it was so cheesy.
Yeah, I can kind of see. All right, before we get to ratings, Ben's just quickly run up to the toilet. Let's talk about the sequel.
Yeah, cool.
Because I watched it. I tried to watch it last night, but I fell asleep. And I watched it today. I finished the rest today.
Yeah, I watched it this morning.
Yeah.
Before we came here, so yeah.
I don't know if I thought this whole time that I have seen this movie, and I don't know if I have and just forgotten about it. But watching it today, I could not remember a single thing that happened.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you, man, it fucking sucked.
You didn't like it?
No. Okay. I'll get into it, but did you like it?
Yeah, I still digged it.
Mm-hmm.
How different was it going to be? It's people going to a cave doing the same thing, so it's going to be similar, but they amp up the gore a lot.
Okay, yes, it's a lot gorier, which is why I'm kind of... why I'm not going to rip into it right now, because the gore... like, the middle towards the end was good, but the starting was god-awful. It was so fucking bad, man. For one... the writing in this movie is so horrible. You could have thought of any single other way to get these people back into the cave, but for her to have memory loss, and then just say, the cop, oh, you got to come back to that cave with me, and then for her to it was so
I can
poor.
See the traumatic memory
yeah.
loss is a legit thing.
I was going to say, I haven't seen it, man, but like, yeah. Your brain does block shit like that out sometimes if it's too intense to deal with.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's like a legit
monsters
thing.
In a cave?
Yeah, imagine if
because it's so far-fetched and like, you got to realise, like, it's not just that happened. She's dealing with the compound loss of her husband, her daughter, every single one of her friends.
So you're saying her brain's just fried?
Yeah, I guess she's...
bottom line, man, it happens in real life. If people's brain finds something too traumatic to comprehend and to deal with,
yeah.
Your brain will legit just block it out and cut the memories from you. It can't delete the memories, but it will block it from
well
your,
she gets them back in
mind.
The end. Okay, this is the other
that's
problem
what I
had.
So it can't delete it, but it can block it, but you, right. Through things, you know, visual stimulization and stuff, they can come back.
Alright, well,
that's a legit thing.
This is just a quick spoilers for The Descent Part 2, and Ben, I can tell you this right now because I probably won't ever do this on the show. Because I don't feel you need to watch it.
Like, really? So he told her the opposite. He said it was quite good.
All right, well, cover your ears.
It's all right, I'm going to listen. I'll watch it anyway.
When she does finally get her memory back, they're down in the cave and she remembers that this cave is full of creatures that will fuck you up hard. She finally remembers. And then she kicks everyone's ass who's with her and runs off into the cave by herself.
Well, I guess she's going A into survival mode. It was like, I know the way out. We've got to get the fuck out of here. And at the same time,
so let
too,
me kick everyone's ass who's with
yeah,
me.
Well, at the same time, too, maybe it's just dawned on her as it all come back that she's the number one suspect. And the sheriff's right behind her.
Yeah, okay.
So I well, guess there's those things.
The acting was god-awful, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that sheriff shouldn't be in the cave.
Ben's got a question.
Yes. I was going to say, even just on that point... didn't you say this is set like a couple of hours after the first one?
I think a day or a few
yeah,
days.
Yeah, 2 days. Two days.
She'd also still be well rattled from what just happened 2 days ago.
True.
Clearly not in a normal
yeah, okay.
state of mind to begin with. It's not like she's been chilling out for the last 3 years and going back. It
I don't
happened
know, I just,
2 days ago.
I just felt the writing was really... like, they could have done something... because they completely write off what happens at the end of this movie.
Well, yeah,
how she's back in the cave. Like, it...
yeah,
let's talk about that when we get back to the first one, shall we?
Okay, finish your point.
Well, I was going to say, they definitely leave the ending open
mm-hmm.
for a third. I'm not going to say exactly what they do because Benji's here and I know he wants
oh,
to watch
okay,
it.
That was the biggest problem I have with the movie.
But
the last little
leave,
part of the
they
part
leave
two.
It open for a third,
oh
but
God.
It just opens it up to be a big, complicated storyline.
Yeah, okay. Quick, the last thing you see in part two is something I fucking hate in horror movies. And they do it a lot. They do it in Bait, where it just pans to something closely. And you know what's going to happen. The
yeah,
creature's going to jump up and go,
"Ah!"
It's like,
true,
oh,
yeah.
For fuck's sakes. It was predictable as shit. It was full of tiresome horror tropes that just don't need to be added. It was a shit sequel. I'm sorry, man.
I think my favourite thing about the sequel too actually was... So Ben, you would appreciate this a lot.
Okay.
It's like just before they're about to get back out of the cave, they can see the entrance there, and this one of the gremlins sort of walks in the way, but it's not your run-of-the-mill gremlin. It's like fucking rip, man.
Boss gremlin.
It's like, yes. Well, it's the best way to describe it. You know the Uruk-hai that pwns Boromir?
Yes.
It's like him.
That's sick!
He is ripped, man.
That's hectic.
Like, that's probably the best part about it.
It was cool, but it was like, oh, for fuck's sake, of course. Of course, there's a bigger monster one. I
definitely love that.
Anyway, alright. We may have to do the second one because I actually want to hear your thoughts on it. Let's get back into the first one. You wanted to talk about the ending.
I fucking hate dream endings. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now, the only thing that even gives it slight credibility is the fact that having spoken to Todd on the way here, there is a second one. It's her. It's 2 hours or 2 days or whatever after. So she does survive. That at least lends itself to the fact that she got out, because I was under the impression when she woke up after all this shit,
yes,
that she probably wouldn't get out of the cave. And yeah. I was like, are you fucking serious? So everything that just happened in the last 40 minutes of this movie is bullshit and irrelevant because she's fucking asleep on the floor.
No. No, so her, everything that happened, like, her getting to Juno happened.
Since when? Because near as I could tell, the way I understood... Oh, well, yeah, but since the sequel.
Yeah.
According to this movie, I took it that when the first attack happened and they scattered and she fell and went her own way by herself and woke up from getting knocked unconscious, that's where this picked up again.
Would have been a better story.
Which is exactly what I understood from this movie, because nothing tells you otherwise.
Okay.
She woke up from being unconscious and she by herself.
That's why I say the sequel has bad writing, because all that stuff did happen.
Okay, but see,
they address it, but yeah.
Well, okay, so that may be due to the sequel, but having not seen that, I'm addressing the first movie and the first movie only.
Yeah, I can see your problem.
Which means everything from when they got scattered till the end of the movie is bullshit and did not happen.
Yeah, yeah.
True, yeah. I guess if you never see the sequel, it's completely...
That's what I meant.
That's
right, I was totally ready to have this rant until you told me there was a sequel, and yeah, that at least makes it somewhat more bearable. But to me, I fucking hate dream endings, because it just makes everything that happens irrelevant. It ruins watchability for the movie.
I'm very happy.
So, like,
if
I rewatched the movie, I would probably turn it off at the point where she gets out of the cave, just to make that my own ending for it, instead of where she wakes up in the cave.
I know there was an alternative.
Because if
ending.
That didn't happen, I would have actually been quite okay with the ending. Yeah, yeah, she gets out. Predictable, but part of the movie. No worries. But a dream ending is worse.
Yeah,
that's
atrocious
to me. I feel like that's the laziest and shittest writing to end a movie of any sort with a dream ending.
When I watch it, I see the dream section is not from the very start of all the shit going down, but just that last 5 minutes, because she does slip and take a fall, but then she looks up and sees the way out.
True.
So to me, that's where the dream sequence
is. I suppose,
if you
interpret it that way, that might
that's
make sense.
That's how I've always seen it, but
that's
I can definitely see your point too.
Yeah, my brain went back to like the first time she was unconscious, and I was like, well, that's...
Yeah, well, I've actually never thought of it that way too.
Neither have I, actually. He's the first person that's put that into my mind.
Yes, he's not. Bigger dummy as we think.
Well, he's not. We know that. The show doesn't know. Then you should. All right. Well, final thoughts, and let's rate this bitch. I can say it because it's a female cast.
Yeah.
Toddy.
Yeah. I guess final thoughts. I dig it.
Yep.
I guess personal experience too plays a big part in it.
Yeah.
But originality of the film. And it's just fun, man. I guess the only downside for me was every time somebody got bitten, I had this thought in the back of my mind that they just were going to turn into a zombie. Because there's so many zombie things now. And then I was like, hold on, they're not zombies.
For some reason I had that too.
You can't help it, eh? It's sort of just like typecast into your mind now that everything with things like this is like infectious, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, you get bitten, you turn. You're kind of waiting for it, but you're like, oh no, wait a second. No,
but the thing is,
they're just dead.
The thing that I love about these creatures is that they're animals.
Mm.
And the fact that they go for the jugular proves that they are animals.
Yeah, they're feral.
Yeah.
Feral, yeah.
They're not zombies, like, but I can see exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
exactly.
My final thoughts, I dig it, I like it.
Yep.
It's good fun. It's a good original movie.
So, out of 10? If you could.
I'll give it a 7.
A 7?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's amazing, perfect. I'll watch it all the time, but mm-hmm. I've definitely, since I first watched this, I've definitely watched it, I don't know, nearly 10 times, probably, over the years.
Yeah.
Like, I always sort of come back to it, and I'm like, yeah, fuck it, I'll watch it. That's a good movie. Second one, today was the second time I've ever watched the second one, but wow. The first one, I've definitely watched a fair few times.
What would you give the second one, if you could? Or just tell me better.
Definitely not
or worse.
As good as the first.
Yeah.
I reckon maybe a 5 or 6, but the first okay. one's definitely up there. 7, and I would definitely recommend it to people to watch.
Alright, I'll quickly tell you my thoughts before we go into it. First thing I noticed about this movie is girls drinking beers. That's gross. That gives yeast infections. I love this movie. Don't give her beer. I have to taste that. It's been a few what.
I was about to say, there's nothing worse than a yeasty spider.
I know. I really enjoy this movie. I haven't seen it for a long time, but it'll be one that I'll be rewatching again. I'm giving it an 8. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed this film, and it'll be one that I'll be rewatching again. So, Ben, you're the man that we're all waiting to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Final thoughts and score.
All right, man. So, I enjoyed the characters in this movie. I found them intriguing enough. That was good. The effects in this were awesome. As we said, the makeup on the creatures was hectic. They looked yes. like full-blown real.
Yep.
That was mad. I also actually really, really appreciated the sound design in this movie.
We didn't even touch on that, man.
Like the reverb and stuff they put on the voices that gives that mad echo
yeah.
because they're down in these underground caverns.
Yeah.
But they don't do it all the time, and nor do they do it over the top. They only use it in the appropriate times when they're in a cavern, and just enough to make you appreciate the size of the cavern without seeing anything but the area they're standing in.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually a very, very clever technique and very well done.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really good. And one other particular scene that I thought was really, really cool as far as the effects went was the blood pool.
Yeah.
Because she's running away, and with the sort of shit floating across the top of it, I did not see that coming, eh? She's just running, and it looks like she's going to run onto something, and then just fucking goes boom straight into this blood pool. And I'm like, whoa, fuck. It looked so cool.
They do that in the sequel. Not with blood, but another form of something that comes from the human body.
It's a shit pool, man.
Gross.
It's shit. They actually see the creature shitting it. So what I call work. Laugh. Huh?
It's what I call work.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, nah, so I thought that was really, really cool. And I also appreciated the fact that she was clever enough when she came out of the blood pool to come up slowly.
Yeah.
She didn't jump through gasping for air and making heaps of noise because she knows they're hunting off sound.
Yeah.
She very slowly rose up out of the blood.
Yeah.
Very good to actually see someone do something clever like that. The cinematography in this was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the first, like one of the starting scenes when she's in hospital and she runs out of her room and is running up the hall as the lights are turning off.
Yep.
And it's doing that thing where it like zooms in on her but zooms out on the hallway.
Yes,
that's
yes,
a really, really cool fucking thing. A few other cool like angles that we used when the cars are coming up to the thing. It's just following the motion of the car, but then it just pans right out and shows the cabin in there as well. That was cool. The scene where they're driving the two cars to the cave entrance, and it's got the trees and the lake with the reflection of the cars in it.
She was driving way too fast, I must say. As a driver reckless. For a living.
How reckless.
It was.
I appreciated as well the super tight camera angles they used when they're in the caves to make you feel how tight it would be in there.
Yeah.
You know? They're not 5 meters back, but showing them in this tiny little space.
Yeah.
It makes you feel claustrophobic even watching the movie.
Yep.
Which I feel is just really, really cool the way they used that. What else is there up here? I also like the lighting and the angle at the end when she's climbing up the pile of bones towards the exit to the cave, but everything else is black. You can like just see the natural light on her and the bones.
Actually, and that was the one thing because I couldn't remember what happened. I kind of recalled if the creatures were going to like come from the darkness and try and follow her or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they didn't. But I could see that happening.
Agreed. So that was cool. There were also, like, I appreciated some of the particularly brutal things that happened in the movie. For instance, as we mentioned, the pick going straight through Beth's throat. That was savage.
Savages.
And at the end, putting the fucking pick straight to Juno's knee.
Yeah.
Like, that's brutal, man. Imagine that, copping one of them straight through your knee.
She doesn't even take vengeance out by, like, killing her. She just drops her and leaves her.
Yeah,
leave it here. Brutality, man.
It is.
That's savage. So, that and, yeah, everything else we fucking, you know, we've touched on before, the creatures and stuff. I thought this was very, very well thought out, very well shot, especially given the fact that it's actually a reasonably low-budget film.
Yeah, so, right.
I thought that was pretty fucking good, eh? I'm coming in with an 8 out of 10.
Ah, shit! It's the same as me!
I thought this was fucking
high five! Awesome. Boom! Alright, so before we get to the next thing, I just want to give you a little bit of trivia. Because it's actually some really nice, interesting trivia. So I'm going to give you a few points. Crawlers were designed to resemble Nosferatu from the film of the same name. They also had huge white eyes to begin with, but this idea was done away with because they looked too silly. It took 3.5 hours in makeup to transform an actor into a crawler. They had to shave all their body hair as well.
I believe that.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know this, and I'll be surprised if you guys know this as well. There is a shot of a crawler much sooner than you think. Not long after they start the descent, in the cave that they light up red, when Sarah hears children's laughter as it's checking out where it's coming from, look in the background to her left, and you'll see a silhouette.
That's super cool. I did not know that.
I love the thought that like they did that.
I kind of want to watch that scene right now, just to see if I can see it.
Yeah, so do I.
It's going inside right now. Yeah. Like, after we finish this.
Go and watch it.
Go watch it. Let's do it.
Get this. This is the best thing I ever heard. The appearance of the creature was kept secret from the cast members until the first scene in which they encounter them. Which they encounter them was filmed. When the cast were finally filming the scene where the girls encounter the crawlers, the girls were genuinely scared and screamed the building down, running off set and laughing.
See, that's cool. I like the way some directors and stuff do that, because you get a genuine response on camera.
That's what they did in Alien as well.
More touching moment. They did it in How I Met Your Mother as well.
With what?
When Lily gets out of the cab and tells Marshall that his dad died. They gave Jason Segel a different script that said something else was going to happen, and she got out crying, and he didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then she actually told him that his dad died in the show.
Yeah.
So, like, him crying was, like, a legit reaction to it.
That's heaps good. Yeah. And he likes to show his dick, and I like that.
Good show.
Great show.
Last one that I'll mention, because I already mentioned the one after that. Tobin Bell, who plays Jigsaw in the Saw movies, said in an interview that this is one of his favourite horror films of all time.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I've got for trivia, and that's all we've got for The Descent. If you haven't seen it, I think it's pretty safe to say that we all liked it a little bit.
Get on it, son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to take a quick break, and for song... Okay. Alright. Hear me out. I have been searching YouTube for the perfect song from this movie, and I couldn't find shit. I searched up cave songs, crawler songs. Yeah, I'd search up everything, man. I couldn't search up anything. Like, they have songs to do with caves, but they're all shit. They had, like, some Mumford and Sons song, which was shit.
Cave core band.
Do it. The song I'm going with, all right? And I'm really stretching right now. One of the characters in this movie was called Juno. So I got one of the songs from the movie Juno.
Oh, my God. You really were stumped.
I was, man. I'm stretching far. So the song is All I Want Is You by Barry Lewis Pulitzer. Dude, it's from the Juno soundtrack. If you've seen Juno, you'll know this song straight away. I like it. It's the catchiest song I could come with. I'm sorry. Hey, don't blame me. Blame Paley. He's the one that's meant to be giving us songs, but he's been fucking lazy for the past 3 weeks. So it's all his fault. Fuck you, Bailey.
Oh, well, Tim, let's have a listen.
All right. We'll be back with What's Under the Band and more things after this awesome song.
If I was a flower growing wild and free, all I'd want is you to be my sweet honeybee. And if I was a tree growing tall and green, all I'd want is you to shade me and be my leaves. If I was a flower growing wild and free, all I'd want is you to be my sweet honeybee. And if I was a tree growing tall and green, all I'd want is you to shade me and be my leaves. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea. Tall, the rumble of your water would be my call. If you were the winter, I know I'd be the snow, just as long as you were with me when the cold winds blow. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea. If you were a wink, I'd be a nod. If you were a seed, well, I'd be a pod. If you were a floor, I'd wanna be the rug. And if you were a kiss, I know I'd be a hug. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea. If you were the wood, I'd be the fire. If you were the love, I'd be the desire. If you were a castle, I'd be your moat. And if you were an ocean, I'd learn to float. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea.
Okay, don't lie. I know what you're doing. You're bopping your head to that song just then. Do not lie. It's a catchy song, and I know that you dig it. Not the best choice of song, but hey, I didn't have much of a choice, and it's Paley's fault, as I said before. So, up yours, Paley. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Juno. We're here to talk about another movie. A movie called Cargo. Now, if you live anywhere in the world besides Australia, this will be streaming on Netflix for you. Some unknown reason, this is an Australian film, but for you Australian audience out there, you have to go to the cinema. You actually have to get up and do stuff to go see this movie. So you have to go see the cinema, and I'm going to tell you right now, is it worth it, or is it a film that you should wait till Netflix? So before I do that, the story is basically, I'm going to give it to you bluntly. It's a new look into the zombie subgenre, and basically the story is a little family. You have the father, the mother, and a baby, probably ranging about 8 to 9 to 10 months, a bit short of 1 year old. And the mother suddenly gets bitten by a zombie. Now, they have a way to cure the disease, or at least they think they do. So the father and the baby go out to search for this cure to save the mother, but in the meantime, the father gets bitten, and the story is basically, what are they going to do with the baby? How are they going to make the baby survive? So I went into this knowing that I'm going to bore my eyes out watching this movie. And after coming out, look, I'm not going to lie, yes, I cried. Julissa cried with me, but it wasn't as sad as I was hoping for or I thought it would be. That's not to say that this isn't a good movie. I enjoyed this movie immensely, but if you're going to go into this film expecting an action-packed zombie film, this is not the film for you. This is a slow burn, and I'm going to put it truthfully, This isn't much of a horror film, but much more of a drama. Yes, it has the horror elements to it, but evidently I feel it's more of a drama than a horror. The acting is the one thing, well, the main thing that carries this film, because it is incredibly unreal. It's perfect. Martin Freeman, I believe his name is Freeman, yes, that's it, is the main character in this film, and he puts on a tremendous performance. He's the father of this. And there's not a performance in this film that I would say was lacking. Everyone put on their A game. The thing about this film, and there's nothing against the film, but if you don't know me, you can't tell by my accent, I am in fact an Australian citizen. And I don't know why, but why does almost every Australian horror film have to do with the outback? I mean, there's very rare films that deal with Australian city life. I mean, what have we got? The Babadook is slightly in the city. I mean, Loved Ones is kind of in the suburbs. Besides that, like, most of it's either in the ocean or the outback. I mean, there's more to Australia than just the outback. Like, fuck me. Anyway, that's not either here or there. This film will tug on your heartstrings. I'll tell you that much. The story is simple but effective. And I feel that it's worth a watch. But should you go see it at the cinema, I think you can wait for a Netflix release, because this isn't something that has the big effects or the big explosions that you would pay to go to a cinema to see. So I feel it's safe to say, wait for this at Netflix. I love this film. It's sitting at the moment in my top 10, and I'm coming in at probably a 7 out of 10. I don't think this is a film that I will watch again. I don't feel I need to. So that's probably why I'm sitting at a 7 out of 10. If it was a film I would go back to, it would easily be a 9. Because I love this film. I had a blast with it. The pacing was never slow. I was always interested as to what was going to happen. It wasn't predictable. And the effects, well, the effects are pretty good. So I'll tell you that much. So if you want to check it out, if you are living anywhere but Australia, you can check that out on Netflix now. If you are an Australian resident, if you really want to go see it, go to the cinema. It's at selected cinemas now. Go support indie horror. If not, wait till Netflix and then support indie horror that way. So that was Cargo from 2018, just released last week, I think it was. Last week, the 18th of May, whatever that is. So Cargo.
Ben's question of the week.
Yes, this has been placed in a weird spot, but as I said at the start of this episode, god damn it, Jaden, this is all over the place. So, welcome to Ben's question of this week. Now, Ben's obviously not here at the moment. I'm stuck here with my son, who's making a god-awful racket in the background. So, sorry about that. Ben's not here, but I am here, so I'm going to deliver and answer this question for you. So, the question from last week was, what's the best makeup effect from a film? We have a few people who responded. Darian Brock, the Big D, as we like to call him, says, Doc's transformation in The Thing, or David's werewolf transformation in American Werewolf in London. These two were the two that I was thinking of, because pretty much they're the best. They're the best of the best. You can't beat these unreal makeup performances. I've said it before, we've done both these films, and they're just incredible. Scott Dent comes in and says, this is a toughie, guys, but I'm going to have to go with Kerry from Sex and the City movie. Gives me the creeps every time. I understand that completely. That horse face is horrifying. She's probably the most horrifying character out there. Craig Zemmett says, bottle scene from Irreversible. Yep. Thunder Twonk says, I like the scene in Lucio Fulci's Zombie. Oh, god damn. I just read this one. With the eye being pierced by the piece of wood. If any of you haven't seen it, I recommend it for the makes you squirm factor. Yeah, that, oh man, I don't know about you guys, but anything to do with eyes gets me bad. I wear glasses, but I used to wear contacts all the time, so I'm kind of all right with touching my eyes, but back before that, I had this real fear about it, and anything to do with eye trauma in movies, yeah, nah. Squirm factor 2 to 10. Alan. Oh, I guess I gotta say it. Alan Chacha! He writes, gut munching Dawn of the Dead OG. Yes. Tom Savini at his best. Even though the blood was a bit disco era, if I may say. Still awesome. Jordan James Huxley. He writes, original Ninja Turtles from the 1990 movie. Costumes technically, but had to be said. He also writes, also you didn't specify horror, but mutant turtles and rats is pretty freaky. I take that answer completely. And I agree with you, Jordan. I'm not big into Ninja Turtles. Look, I'm your typical horror fan. I'm only into horror. But those movies were awesome. I mean, you have Vanilla Ice singing, rapping Go Ninja Go. You have Kevin Nash as Super Shredder. These might be the sequels I'm thinking of. I don't know. Either way, awesome answers. So, for the question for the week after next, since we're skipping a week, is pretty easy one, but I'm going to ruin it for you. Who is the most awesome character in a horror film? And to make it a bit harder, because I feel like everyone's going to say this, I'm saying Ash Williams from the Evil Dead series, Ashy Slashy. So no one can pick Ash Williams, because I feel like that's the answer that everyone's going to go to. So, the coolest person in any horror film that's not Ash Williams. Ponder that, guys, and let us know. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Yeah. All right, so well, let's go to the Voice of the People and see what movie we will be doing next time. Here he is with the Voice of the People. You're the voice, try and understand it. Make the noise and make it clear. Oh, oh, oh. All right, so we're here with the Voice of the People. Now, as you remember, when we did the Descent fight, the Descent matchup, I kind of rigged it. Not going to lie. I did it for a purpose. You know why. This time, I wanted a full-blown fight. I wanted something challenging. I wanted something that I couldn't even decide upon two movies. So I did that. So the clue was comedy. The two movies were Deathgasm versus What We Do in the Shadows. These are two comedy horror movies that I love dearly. They both make me piss myself laughing. Very different to each other, but both hold a special place in my heart. Strangely enough, this didn't go exactly the way I thought it would go. I thought this would be a neck-to-neck fight the whole way through. And I had a lot of people messaging me or commenting on the post saying, this one's too hard, I can't choose. And because of that, we only got 96 votes, which is about 100 less than we usually do. And I can kind of see why, because people just couldn't vote. But because of that, I was expecting a bit more of a bloodbath, but the winner, with a whopping 71% compared to the loser, who was at 29%, the winner is What We Do in the Shadows, which is a bit of a shock. I thought people would go more the the Deathgasm route. I feel that was more applauded by the horror genre than What We Do in the Shadows. Either way, I'm happy. I think, if I'm going to go on a limb, I think Ben would enjoy Deathgasm more for the heavy metal aspects, but I think he will love What We Do in the Shadows either way, because how can you not love What We Do in the Shadows? I know Darian does, Biscotti, and all that stuff, so that's what we'll be doing in a couple weeks' time. Now, the clue for next time, speaking of Darian, he has messaged me with a little face-off, if you will. He wants two movies to go ahead together in what he calls a ghost-off. So the clue for next time is ghost films. Think about that. They're not two that
mainstream horror audiences would know. So that's a bit more of a clue for you. So think deep. He's also given us an album to review, which also has something to do with ghosts. So if you can get all three of those, I will... Fuck it, I'll send you a prize. If you can get what two movies were that are going head-to-head and what album Darian wants us to do. Darian, of course, you're not included in this because you told me. And neither are you, Cake Wolf, because you know. But if you guys can get that, all two movies and the album, I'll send you guys a prize. How about that? Your iPod. The band is The Birthday Massacre. Yes, you may not have heard of them, but we're doing them tonight. The album is Under Your Spell from 2017. So the band is The Birthday Massacre. Todd, have you heard of this band at all?
Never have, Tim.
And I know Ben hasn't, because he told me last week. And, look, truth be told, I would have never heard of this band unless I did what I did last week, which is I searched up Google.
True.
And,
Tim's the only man on Earth to have actually searched up Google.
No, so there's more to add to that.
He Googled it on Google.
Jay's looking at me right now with the funniest fucking look.
That's because even he can't believe what you've
done. Shut up. No, look, I was on the search for more synth rock bands, and this website, I can't remember what website it's called, gave me a list of all these synth rock bands, and up came this band called The Birthday Massacre. And, well, I'm not even going to tell you why I clicked on that band, but I clicked on this album called Under Your Spell, and I'm not going to lie, it took me a few listens to get into it, but once I finally got hooked onto it, I loved it. And I showed Jaleesa this album, and she was a fan as well. It's what it's got under Wikipedia is new wave, electronic rock, goth rock, but it also has elements of hard rock in it as well. It's for fans of 69 Eyes, or KMFDM, Evanescence, or Orgy. Actually, you know what? It's a lot like Evanescence, but with more electronic sounding. Is this sounding good to you guys at all? No?
It sounds alright to me. I mean, I've never listened to Evanescence more than like their main songs that have been on the radio.
Yeah.
So I can't really comment too far as to that. But like, as we spoke about when we did Pendulum and stuff, I'm not a... Like, I like EDM and stuff like that. So
yes.
The fact that it's got more synth in it doesn't turn me off.
Yeah. So I said to you before that this is basically Evanescence. Like it's a female fronted band. It's Evanescence with like the synth sound,
yeah,
and all that stuff. And the
I love a good bit of synth.
Oh man, I'm heavily into synth.
It's got some hectic.
Yeah, it does. But this album in particular, because I went and got the discography, and I'm still listening through the albums, like their other albums. I'm liking it, but this album is the standout by far. But this album transports me back to... I was born in the 80s, but I never experienced the 80s. But transformed me back to the time when I watched the 80s films, such as like Lost Boys. And I said this to Jaleesa that this is... We call it vampire music. Because, okay, this is going to sound weird, but hear me out. Do you know when sometimes you close your eyes and you can picture, like, your own film clip to the music that you're listening to? Does that sound right?
I definitely know that feel, yeah.
Okay, so this is what happens to me, and when I did that, like, I don't close my eyes, but I just get transported. Shut up, Ben. I get transported into this realm of, like, I don't know, it's like a party of... Yeah. Oh, vampire sex.
I get you. Like, you're making up your own video to the song.
You have some kind of weird what did you
when you
family.
Said your
no
own,
like
when you said your own video to the song, I thought you meant you were literally closing your eyes and imagining a thrashed video playing while you were listening to this song.
No,
that sounds nothing like what we would have sounded like. Like, you put our video to one of these songs.
No, like when I close my eyes, like, and listen to this music, I can envision
the video of you in the bathtub with Scott splashing water on you.
No one knows about that video, Ben. Shut
by
up.
The way, all our listeners,
shut up.
If you want to Google or YouTube, I should say YouTube thrashed rapscallions, you will see a video of Tim actually full blown naked in a bubble bath getting splashed around by our other guitarist.
I reckon that was about 10 other men in that bath.
There was about 12 of us crammed in the corner of that off. Just out of shot pissing ourselves because we were on tour when we filmed it.
And the funny thing is that, like, Scott didn't even know I was naked, so he was walking like little legs down my chest down to my dick, not really, as my dick's right there.
So anyone that wants to see a naked bubbly Tim, YouTube that. Anyway, as you were saying.
Anyway, back to the birthday massacre. Yes. So that's exactly what I think of when I hear, like, a lot of this music is like vampires fucking in like a vampire party, but sexy vampires. So
I've got some problems.
Don't have any problems. No, it has a very 80s style soundtrack theme to it, and I fucking dig it, man. It has taken me a few listens to get into. Have what I said interest you at all, Todd?
Not really. Not enough bagpipes for me.
Oh, fuck off. Whatever.
Bring on the battlefield band. We see vampires. Fuck to that.
Oh my god.
Anyway, all right. Well, I like this album, and
that's not where the bagpipes go.
Stop it. Ow.
If we shut up. If we're gonna give this album an indication, if we're going to give it a throw the fucker away, if we're going to give it a throw the fucker away, or listen to it on YouTube, or buy it, stupid.
Can I interrupt you? This is something I've been thinking for quite a few of your episodes. You're supposed to be an Australian podcast, right? Australian horror podcast.
Yes.
What is this buy this stupid stuff? From this day forward, it's now buy this, you fucking wobby gong.
We're not talking about Wobby Gongs.
I'm on board with this, alright?
This is an Australian podcast.
Great.
Buy this, you Wobby Gong.
Fine. Yeah. Well, I never ever
it'll
give
be
it
different
a
every week. Buy it, you flaming galah.
Go to the store and get it, you pelican.
Fucking run at this like a lizard on a hot road.
You're ruining the show.
Get it, you go, Anna.
Alright, so
get it up, ya.
Fucking, I will get it up. So,
anyway, as you were saying.
So, I'm going to come in with, if you're a fan of the song that I'm going to play, I say, buy it, you flaming wobby gong. Is that right?
Wobbygong.
That was pretty good.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. I mean, you're getting there. They're a little
fuck
bit
off. You were about to rip me a new ball, huh? And then he comes and goes, it's all right. And then you're like, oh, yeah, it's good.
It's all right, because I'm being generous.
Fuck off. Anyway, all right, I'm having trouble picking the song which I want to choose, so I'm going to give you guys the options. So I'm going to ask you the title names. I'm going to tell you the title names.
Okay.
And you guys can choose. So it's either between All of Nothing or
that's
Unkind. All of Nothing or Unkind.
I'm going to go with All of Nothing because I want to hear them explain this.
Okay? Yeah, I'm going to go with All of Nothing too because I feel like that's the most Aussie thing. I could imagine some
we don't care about Aussie things on this show.
Guy in a farm,
I don't
one
give
true,
a man. Fuck about Australia.
Australia. How's the crops? Oh, fucking getting all of nothing, mate.
All
true,
of
eh?
Nothing. Or oh. Not all or. All of nothing.
Yeah, I can still imagine.
No, all of nothing still works, eh?
Alright, well, we're going to leave you with
anyway, I'm trying to get somewhere with this bird the other night and I've got all of nothing, mate.
That actually sounds true. Alright, so we're going to kick it off with the birthday massacre and All of Nothing. This is the track that Jaleesa liked a lot. So
All of Nothing, that's what them vampires are getting, mate. Get it up, yeah, yes! That's what I'm talking about.
Anyway, please rate and review this podcast on the Padded Room Network. We are a proud member of the Padded Room Network page, which is us, the Padded Room Podcast, and Cakewalk's Happy Hour. Julissa, that's my thing, all right? Not yours. Only I may dance. you can notice that the drunk levels are going higher and higher the longer this podcast goes. Anyway, email us at horrorfordummies@hotmail.com or the Horror for Dummies Facebook page, which is just Facebook.com/horrorfordummies. You'll see us there. You can talk to me. I'm just Tim Davis on Facebook. And he and Ben, not he, Ben is what Shanks. He's named under Shanks Hannigan. It's a bit strange.
Shanks with an X. Hannigan yes. with two N's.
And Todd?
Get onto it.
Tell where the people can find you.
My name is Rang Ridgeway.
You know what?
That's true. Also, shameless plug for him while he's here. Yep. He is also a professional bagpipe player. It's what he does for a living. Look up his page, Redbeard Music. Nice. He is amazing, and any support you can offer is always appreciated.
Yeah.
Check it out and give me a like.
How fucking cool is that, that you aren't actually... You are getting paid. Like, you don't do any other work besides bagpiping. That's so cool.
Is it really work?
It's true.
I spend half my day playing World of Warcraft. It's not really work.
Fucking bagpipes and blowjobs. Either way, it's lung capacity.
Yeah. That's
mate, I can fucking blow.
And just to give this guy a shameless plug, he was on stage with Paul McCartney. Oh. And don't matter where you are in the world, you know who Paul McCartney is.
And he was also on there with The Voice, Johnny Farnham.
Yeah.
Which is relevant because it's the clip we played before The Voice of the People.
Yes. If you don't know Johnny Farnham,
Todd was actually there for that song and played it for that guy.
He was, actually. Twice. That's true. Anyway, till episode 38. We actually don't even know at this moment what we're doing next week, but you'll find out soon. It's either between Deathgasm or I Know What You Did in the Shadows. We Know What You Did in the Shadows, sorry, my bad. It's either between those two films, but you'll find out soon enough. Comedy horror episode. But we'll be back for that. Until then, I've been Tim. He's been Ben. He has been Rad Salad.
Rad Salad. I'm sorry for ruining your podcast.
You did well. We've been Horror for Dummies.
I appreciate everything you bring to every episode you're in, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys. You're legends.
You're legends.
I'm legends.
You're more than two legends. I'd rate him about two legends.
This has been Horror for Dummies. Dip! Yeah!